Welcome to Nothing But Fantasy. My name is Phil Nasons, and I'm the co-host of this weekly radio show. It's dedicated to all you fantasy owners everywhere. You can hear us daily on Maximum Sports Channels and daily at the 405 Media, the talk alternative. You can find us at LennyMelnickFantasySports.com. Lots of different places have us, including Stitcher and iTunes. We're thrilled to bring you this show. And when I say we, please welcome Miss Andrea Lamont to the show. What's up?
Oh, not much. How are you?
It seems like we've done this before.
We have. We've introduced ourselves a few times.
Yep, it happens.
It's nice to see you, though. We'll get it.
Yeah, it's doing fine. The internet has kind of given us some difficulties today, but one guy who didn't have any difficulties yesterday is Ryan Merritt, and the sky-high ADP is already in my sights.
It could be. It depends on what he does. There's still some games left here. I mean, they're going to have to compete in a few more, so there's a good chance he's going to be out there pitching again, and I would not recommend thinking that he's going to be something special in his first season, because he will be a rookie next year.
He will be a rookie next year, and I think that he's going to be a highly drafted rookie.
Well, that depends on if Nick... But, like I said, he probably still has more chances to mess that up before it's all over. Not to be, like, not to be pessimistic here, but it's been proven time and time again that when a player does super good in the playoffs, then his value goes up. So just recency bias is what they call it.
And it's true, too. It happens all the time. You need to really look at sample sizes. You need to look at things like hot streaks, and hot streaks exist. And some guys get really hot for a couple weeks, and then they go back to being who they are or who they were. And that's something that you have to pay attention to. Now, with a kid like Ryan Merritt, though, the sample size is not very small, or it's really small, I should say. And the thing is, too, is his minor league numbers don't scream ace out at you. So, I mean, what do you do with him? You don't, right? You leave him be, right?
Well, yeah, you could leave him be. I mean, I'm just now looking at his AAA numbers. His ERA was 3.7, so, yeah, it's not great. And the year before that, it was 4.2. That's what I would go by. The 143 innings that he pitched in 2016 at the minor league level, AAA, that's really what you got to go by. 156 hits in 143 innings. It's not good when a pitcher allows more hits than innings pitched, and that's just like the first thing that I noticed right off the bat.
Well, that's just it. That's the way you do it.
He only struck out. He had 92 strikeouts in 143 innings. That's no good either.
Nope, he's not going to do that either. He's not going to overwhelm you. He's a control pitcher. That much I did learn about him yesterday. But that's about it. And that's fine. He did his job. But that doesn't mean he's going to do the job for you in a fantasy league. But he could be a great streamer. He could be a great streamer, though.
He might be, but who knows how well he's going to pitch at the major league level once they get the first time through the batting order, too.
Or if he ever gets up to the major leagues.
So don't get too excited about this guy yet, but he could definitely be a daily guy, maybe.
Maybe. Depends. No, he doesn't get enough strikeouts for that. So I left him be yesterday, much to my demise. But fantasy baseball is now over now. There's no more DFS, and that's a good thing. It's hard to play in these two-team leagues, two games slates. That's terrible.
It is hard to play. I actually played a daily league. It was 2 days. Because there was one game a day. So it was one game with the Nationals and the Dodgers and one game with Cleveland and
in Toronto.
Who was it? Oh, the Toronto Blue Jays. So I picked the two. I picked Bauer, who made it through like four. Or who was the batter that made it, the pitcher that made it through four batters?
Oh, that was Bauer. He had a drone accident with his pinky.
Right. So I had him, and then I had whoever pitched against Clayton Kershaw, which wasn't a good choice either. Not at all.
No, wasn't that bad. Kyle Hendricks wasn't that bad. Did you have Kyle Hendricks?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, he didn't pitch that bad, though. I mean, they lost 1-0, right?
To be honest, I didn't even check that daily league because I was positive that I wasn't going anywhere with that Trevor Bauer incident. So Well, I should
usually,
check it.
Yeah, maybe you should check it. Because usually, though, you're playing at DraftKings, right, with two pitchers?
Yeah, it was DraftKings.
Yeah,
yep.
That's the only one that has two pitchers. Yeah, usually if one of your pitchers goes south in daily, you're done. You know, that's an important position.
Mm-hmm.
So who lost value to you this year? Lots of guys probably, right?
Well, two guys right off the bat that signed huge contracts. Zach Greinke, 6 years, $206 million. I mean, we all knew that he was going to struggle in Arizona a little bit compared to where he was. You know, I mean, it was just – it's a different – as far as pitchers and hitting parks, he goes from L.A. to Arizona. It was just not to his advantage. But beyond that, I really believe that he was going to do decent. He just – I mean, his home runs per nine went up three times what they were the year before. So, I mean, it wasn't just a little bit of downside. It was a lot of downside, and he didn't do well at all. He only pitched 150 innings, and his walks were up. And so he ended up 13-7, which isn't horrible, but when you expected what you got the year before, it was pretty devastating. And Jason Hayward is another one who signed a huge contract, $184 million, and didn't do anything for the Cubbies, which is going, I mean, it's the Cubbies have huge amount of depth, you know, that's one thing the Cubbies have. So they have people that are ready to take over if he's not going to perform. Although with a contract like that, you almost have to put him out there, right? I mean,
well, you have to put him out there. He's performed well over the years. That's why they paid him all that money. But he went south on fantasy owners though. He was awful. Horrific.
He was absolutely awful.
Yeah, he was abominable. Yeah, telling me about it. Jose Bautista didn't do his, even come close to his ADP last year either. 13.6 he was going. And he was awful compared to, I guess, awful. I mean, for fantasy owners, when you're drafting him in the first round, his numbers were awful this year.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a first rounder. And I even saw him going higher than that. I mean, I saw him going in like the top five. Bryce Harper's another one that reminded me of Bryce Harper, who was just breaking all kinds of records the year before. And I don't know if it's Dusty Baker. I don't know if he's not getting along with people in the clubhouse or what's going on. He doesn't seem injured, but there's something to be told about Bryce Harper that hasn't come out yet. There's something wrong.
He's bored. You know, they were walking him a lot this year. He took a lot of intentional walks, and after that episode, he didn't hit as well. And people started pitching to him again, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe not having Daniel Murphy batting in front of him hurt him too.
He still hit 24 home runs, but that is nothing compared to the 42 he hit the year before that. He stole more bases this year, which is something that we'll talk about when we get to – we're going to talk about the stolen bases and the home runs, the differences in the past couple years. And Harper falls right in – I mean, the Washington Nationals are a huge example of what happened with the stolen bases and the home runs, because they're both up this year, apparently.
They're big. Matt Harvey let me down this year, too. He let down a lot of owners. That's the only top 10 fantasy guy that lost out for owners. He was horrible.
What about, no, A.J. Pollock did. I mean,
I mean, pitchers, though. For top 10 pitcher, as a top 10 pitcher, he's the only one that really crushed fantasy owners, me included. He was being drafted third round, or late second, early third rounds. His ADP was 30.8, and he really stunk the place up. And I think he lost a lot of value this year. I don't think he's going to go that high next year.
I'm not a big fan of Matt Harvey to begin with, but, yeah, I agree that he's lost some value. I mean, it would have been better if he would have hit the DL, because the fact that he just kept going out there and pitching week after week, that really hurts a fantasy owner, because there's nothing you can do but continue to throw him out there.
Well, that's just it. And I finally just released him when I got word that things weren't always the way they seem. It sucks. But here's the thing, though. This is what makes me not like hoot on general managers very often, because they go through the same crap, too. And it's difficult. You know, their jobs are on the line, where this is, for a lot of us, it's a hobby. And, You know, it can be very aggravating when these things happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that we don't see that's going on behind scenes, so it's probably best to just give them the benefit of the doubt. There's a reason that they have their job, you know?
There's a very good reason why they have their job, and they know more about it than we do. Well, we think we can run a team, but you know what? Like Terry Francona, he was smiling yesterday, and the reason is because he knew all about Ryan Merritt. Where everybody was poo-pooing the guy, he knew what he had. He had a control pitcher who threw strikes, and he threw 33 strikes out of 59 pitches, so yes, he did. And he was laughing. And the infielders, when they pulled Ryan Merritt yesterday, even the infielders were all laughing. Because why wouldn't they? Terry Francona looked like a genius once again because he knows things about these guys. And the reason he knows is because he does like you do and like I do. We take sample sizes as they are.
He's got something, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is with him, but he did he took the Red Sox to the World Series after it was they were never going to even get to the World Series after they were down, 0-3 to the Yankees. So, I mean, he really has done some wonderful things as a manager, and you got to give him credit for it. That's all there is to it.
That's all there is to it. You know, I know fantasy owners who are like that too, who find these players. I think a lot of what he does, Francona being, is he motivates them very well. He's a great motivator. And we don't get that opportunity as fantasy owners.
No, we don't. Well, we think we can by screaming at the TV and all that, but
yeah, that's kind of funny because the TV doesn't answer back.
And they don't hear you, but I still do it.
I don't do it anymore. I cuss under my breath.
Why bother? Just let it out.
Usually I'm watching it somewhere where I don't really want to do that. So I usually don't. But who's gained value to you, though, you think?
Kyle Hendricks. Amazing value. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go this season, but he definitely finished in the top 20. And, of course, Brian Dozier, he came around, did very well. And I know your boy, Jonathan Villar, is a favorite of yours, obviously.
Yep.
Some of these guys, though, I think that just because they gained value, I'm still hesitant with Jonathan Villar to draft him anywhere near the first, where he finished, which is in the top 20. I'm just not completely sold that he's going to steal another 60 bases next season.
Nor should you be. But any of us, and those of us who asked him at the late rounds of our draft, his ADP was 222, got a bonus half.
Gene Segura
was in, yeah, sure. Gene Segura was another good pick, yeah, sure.
I can't say that I drafted Kyle Hendricks, but you know what? I picked him up in Tout Wars.
See, there you go. Like, Tout Wars is big.
He was on the free agency, still sitting there on the waiver, like halfway through the season at least. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Although the site that we use for Tout Wars is not laid out that good, so it's kind of hard to find players unless you specifically search for their name. So I can understand why he would be still sitting there. Just nobody actually went in there and looked for him because they probably assumed that he was already owned, you know?
There's another lesson for you out there. Pay attention to what other owners have. Pay attention to their rosters. That's what real GMs do.
Really?
Absolutely. They know every player in the league and who has them.
Do.
You have to do that.
Yes.
I pay close attention to what everybody else has. In case I want to trade, I don't usually trade with people, but I like to know. And I always, you know what I try to, you know what game I like to play with myself is to pick the guy that they're going to dump after 2 weeks, and I go pick him up and he excels. I like to say the player named Ian Desmond this year. For all you people who played in leagues with me.
He's another one.
Ian Desmond had a very good year this year.
Yeah, he did. So going back to your point about knowing who's on everybody else's team, like, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, I don't spend a lot of time doing that unless it's head to head. If it's head to head, then I'm looking at what the team has because, you know, I want to know where I can beat them and where I'm strong and where I'm not. But other than that, like if it's just a point rotisserie league, I don't pay one bit of attention to other people's teams. And I kind of get annoyed when people are always like paying attention to my team, you know, like I just feel like there's not enough time in the day to be paying attention to what everybody else is doing all the time.
Well, you know what you do? There's something that you can do to make it a lot easier. If you're a member of RotoWire or a subscriber at RotoWire, they sell a draft kit, a software, where you can, during your drafts, you can put down who has what. And you can easily do that. I mean, you're paying attention then, and then just kind of look it over. It won't take so long. You can update it once per week. It's not a bad thing.
You know, it's funny. I use the RotoWire software every year, and I try to use it for football, but baseball, basketball even. And it seems like – and I try to use it during the draft. You know, that's really kind of what it's made for. But I have not one time – and this is probably in the last 5 years. I have not one time been able to make it through a draft without messing it up or, like, skipping somebody or something. And there's, like, no way to go back. It's, like, absolutely the most frustrating thing. Unless you enter it in perfectly, like, your draft is – you know you're off kilter. And it won't let you back on kilter, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I understand that does happen. Or you know what? You can just use a spreadsheet the same way. You know, just write down what everybody has. Something.
Yeah, good old pen and paper.
That usually works for me. And but that's something that I do. It's just only because I want to know who has what. So when I go to that waiver wire, I just type in names, and there they are. It's a lot easier and a lot less frustrating. That's what I found anyway. But when you talk about players who gain value, you're right. Gene Segura, Jonathan Villar. He had a good year. You know who had a good year, too, is Ryan Schimpf. 20 bombs, 51 RBIs in only 89 games. And his OBP, though, 336. His batting average, 217.
Who was it?
Ryan Schimpf.
Oh, yes. We were talking about him earlier.
Yeah, before the internet cut out on us.
Yes. Some other time, yeah.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
So what did you say is on base? You said his on-base percentage is
336.
See, which isn't horrible. Some guys, the reason that I asked you that on our other conversation was because even though his average is very low, you said it's like 220,
yeah, 215
something.
Yeah, 217.
Okay. Because his on-base percentage is not that horrible, if you're in an on-base percentage league that doesn't use averages, he's more valuable than if you're in a league that uses average. So say, you know, there's other players too. Like I think Jay Bruce is one of them. Adam Dunn used to be one of them. Most of the time, it's players with a lot of power that, so they're much more feasible in on base percentage leagues. Maybe he's one of them. But that batting average at 217 will crush you.
Crush you, and that kills you. But the 20 bombs that he hits will be pretty good. If he extended over the entire season, it might not be so bad. But here's the funny part about all this. I don't know how much you get into exit velocities and stuff like that, but his average exit velocity this season was 92.53. 92 miles an hour he hits the ball. He hits the ball hard.
And yeah, that's
rocking the ball. Major league average is only 89. So he's above average.
Well, I mean, we did also talk about the fact that he only got a half season of at-bats. So take those 20 homers, multiply it by two. We're not expecting him to get – if he did have a full season of at-bats, could he get 40? I don't know, but the exit velocity does say something. In fact, I was reading an article today about Jay Bruce, Bryce Harper, and one other player, Jason Hayward, that why did they do so bad last year? And they talked a lot about exit velocity and – so that is definitely something to look at, how hard they hit the ball, because not only does it matter when you hit a home run, but it matters if you hit a line drive because it's coming off of your bat super hard. So that the chances of somebody stopping it go down substantially.
Well, here's the thing, too. They have this thing, average launch angle in degrees.
Yes.
24.47. Yeah. So they're basically hitting line drives. So why not? Why not? In average height, 71 feet. So that's probably means he's hitting line drives. He's got a chance. But, you know, the thing that I always worry about with these guys is what's when the pitchers get up to speed with him. And maybe they weren't paying that close attention to him because he was playing for the Padres, of all things.
That is something to take into consideration for both pitchers and hitters. That is, you know, it happens all the time.
So we have our guys who we thought gained value. We'll talk more about this as the off-season continues, because we'll have all winter to talk about this stuff. Stolen bases and home runs, both of those were up this year. Why do you think that was?
Why do you think it was?
I don't think it was. I think it was an aberration. I think
I think with the
home runs, I think it's always been the case with the American League guys. I think that the American League guys just have more power.
So there were seven. Well, why didn't they have that power last year, though?
I don't know. That's the whole thing.
So
I
did some
no
research
idea.
On it.
Good.
Okay, well, so there were 700 more home runs hit this past year than there were the year before, which is a huge difference, right? And you're right, it did happen. Like, a lot of the increases happened with American League teams. Like, the American League East, for instance, the Red Sox hit 47 more than they did the year before. I mean, we're talking about like 50 or 60 or 70 more home runs for a team. The Yankees actually hit 30 home runs less. The Astros hit 30 home runs less. The Angels hit a couple less. But so I don't really know, I mean, exactly why one thing, but it is a huge, significant difference in the amount of home runs that are hit. And that means for fantasy owners, to me, that means that home runs might not be as exciting as they were. Like, they're not, you might not be willing to pay as much for a home run hitter as you were before, because there's so many more home runs that there's enough to go around for everybody, right? I mean, that's what I would think. That's what I would gather out of that. As far as stolen bases go, though, there was only a small difference in stolen bases, like 32 more actual stolen bases in 2015. But the number of stolen base attempts and the number of caught stealing, that there's a difference in that. Like, there was more people caught stealing in 2015, and that's one of the reasons why there was more stolen bases in 2016. So as far as stolen bases attempts go, the number of times that they tried to steal bases, that was down 31 from the year before. Just kind of interesting to me, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. You know, Russell Martin threw out 44% of his runners last year. This year he only threw out 14%. I think a lot of it has to do with how pitchers hold runners on base. I'd have to look this up, but I wonder how much more often guys were holding runners. Didn't seem like they were holding runners as much this year as they did in years past. But you had some guys. You know, the other thing, too, is the National League. 8 of the top 10 base stealers were in the National League.
Yeah, they were. And the teams that increased by a ton were pretty much the National League. Like, first of all, the Milwaukee Brewers, they had 124 more stolen base attempts than they did the year before, which was basically they had 113 stolen base attempts in 2015. Okay, they added 124 to that, so they added more than they actually had in 2015. It's kind of hard to explain. The same thing with Cleveland, your boys at Cleveland. They had 51 more steals than they did the year before. And one thing about the Nationals, Dusty Baker, when he was at Cincinnati, Lenny did an interview with their second baseman. What's his name?
Brandon Phillips.
Anyway, yes, Brandon Phillips. And he talked about the fact that Dusty Baker didn't like him to steal. So that's why he didn't, you know, he had a couple years where he stole some bases and then he just stopped stealing bases. And Lenny questioned him about that. And he said, well, they don't really like us to steal. So he was holding them back. We assumed that when Dusty Baker went to Washington that he wasn't going to let anybody steal. And lo and behold, the Nationals, they stole 80 more bases than they did in 2015, where they didn't steal 80 more bases. They attempted to steal 80 more bases. And in 2015, they attempted 80 bases total. So this past year, they attempted 160 stolen bases. That's double what they did the year before, which is kind of interesting since we assumed that they weren't going to try at all.
See, I didn't go into it like that because coaches change. I try not to pay too much attention to that sort of thing. But I do know that.
I don't see. Yeah.
I go after. If I'm looking for stolen bases, I've always gone in the National League because they don't have a DH. So they're sacrificing guys. They're trying to play for one run. where the American League plays wham, bam, thank you, man baseball, you know, three-run homers. And that makes a big difference, too, I think. So I'm a big believer in National League stolen bases. Well, look at this. VR, he finished with 62. Billy Hamilton, there's a guy whose value has increased. I'm sure he had 58 stolen bases this year. Starling Marte had 47. Now, Rajay Davis, he didn't play for the Indians last year, and that's why they have so many more, because they needed a base stealer, and he provided that. And then you have Eduardo Nunez, who had 40 stolen bases. Okay, he played half the season with them. And then Hernan Perez, another guy who is going to be big next year. He had 34 stolen bases. Then you mentioned Gene Segura, 34. Trey Turner had 33 stolen bases. Paul Goldschmidt, 32. Good stuff from these guys, all National Leaguers.
So, well, okay, maybe that's the... There's only seven players that had 30 or more stolen bases, and this year there was 14 players with 30 or more stolen bases. And, I mean, that's a significant difference. So, again, how precious are stolen bases when all of these guys are stealing bases now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And there, but the thing is, too, is some of these guys, Andrea, are hitting home runs alongside of it, like VR hit 19 bombs. Rajay Davis had 12. Eduardo Nunez, 16. Hernan Perez had 13, but he didn't play a lot at the beginning of the season. Gene Segura had 20 bombs.
So
Goldschmidt,
check this
24.
Out.
Altuve, 24. Go ahead.
Last year, there were only four players. I think I said this before. There was only four players that hit 20 home runs and stole 20 bases at least. That was four players. And this year, there was nine players. And you're right. The number of, like, Villar, he didn't make 20-20, but he certainly came close enough to put on this list with 19 home runs and 62 stolen bases. But then you got, look, Melvin Upton, Goldie did it, Harper, Desmond, your boy Ian Desmond hit it. Will Myers was the first one to hit it. So there's 19 players this year compared to four last year that hit 20, that went to 20-20 for fantasy owners. You know, that's a big difference. That's four, you know, four or five times what it was last year, the number of players that are doing that. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. Their value of players is completely different than it was last year. With all, there was 111 players this year that hit 20 or more home runs. Last year, there was only 64 players that hit 20 or more home runs. So again, half as many.
And that's a big number. Will Myers had, 28 stolen bases, right?
Will Myers went 28-28. Yep.
Yes,
but he's a little scary.
But he was close, though. I mean, but the whole point is it doesn't detract from your point. Numbers are up. Home runs were easier to come by this year. Now, does it continue into 2017, though? How do you determine that, you think?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't. You know what? If it's that number, this is what I've always kind of believed, that if the numbers are very drastic, it's, again, like a hot streak. It's just a small sample size. We really can't predict these things. People who say they do,
well,
they can, but, I mean, okay, go ahead.
Well, one of the things I think that the reason why I looked at the number of players that are doing it is because a lot of these guys are young guys. I mean, a lot of these guys just came into the league last year. Like, you got Chris Bryant. You got, I mean, even Will Myers is somewhat young. A lot of these players are very youthful. So I don't think it's just a hot streak. I just think that there's more power coming into the league, that there's just more young players with power. Maybe some of the older players are going to, you know, I don't know. I mean, one of the reasons that we said they weren't hitting them is because they all came off steroids, you know, like they stopped doing enhancers. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that, like, look at Ryan Braun. I mean, he's still hitting the ball out of the park. He's still stealing bases too. But a lot of these guys on this list of the 111 guys that are hitting home runs are young. So I don't think it's really just a fluke.
Okay, maybe young guys hit the ball farther. It's an interesting case study, but for me, I'm going to stick with large sample sizes. I had a feeling that Trumbo would hit well this year, and he did. I think, in fact, Lenny Melnick came on my show, my daily show, and talked about him having a big year. So their numbers are out there. They're bigger this year. Maybe it'll be the same next year. Maybe it won't. It's hard to tell. But one thing is clear, it's been a fantastic fantasy baseball season. I had fun. Mm-hmm. I always have fun. Even when I don't win, I still have fun. I like to do it. What about fantasy football? You're getting into it now, right?
Well, I mean, I have a couple leagues that I play in, and I pay attention because I post all the articles on the site. And, you know, that I do play every week. We have a tournament that we play in over at DraftKings, although I still use your article to pick my players. That's about it. I mean, I know what's going on to say to the basic extent. Yeah, I can compete. But other than that, I'm not a huge fan of football. You know, to me, it's really based on a lot of injuries. It's all dependent on injuries. Every year, if your team does well, it's based on the fact that your guys stayed healthy. And that's pretty much it. It's not hard to figure out, like, who's going to step in when somebody's hurt. It's pretty obvious. And it's, to me, it doesn't take as much, I don't know, intellect, I guess. No offense to the football guys out there.
Well, that makes sense. They're probably not going to like it when a girl says they're not very smart. But at the end of the day, but it's okay. They'll get over it, I'm sure. But you know what?
Totally.
I think you're right. It drives me crazy to play fantasy football because of all the injuries. Like, I'm looking for a running back.
Yeah,
in
that
one
you
league.
Can't help.
Yeah. Well, I can't. Well, the thing is you can't really replace them that well. It's not easy to replace a running back.
No, and your whole season is affected by it. If your first or second round draft pick is gone, then you're done. I mean, there is no way to replace a guy like what about right now? I don't know what's up with Cam Newton, but, you know, I drafted him probably too high in both of my leagues, and I have Kirk Cousins on my bench, and I noticed that you have him on your list this week. So, I mean, one should never put Kirk Cousins in over Cam Newton. Although, is he on a bye this week? Maybe I will put him or Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he's probably on a bye.
I don't think he is.
Yeah, but see, the difference, daily fantasy is a lot different. You know, the weekly football leagues, the ones that I write the column for, that's a different one.
Yeah.
That's all completely different. That's why I'm only in one league.
So if Kirk Cousins is on your list, meaning that he has a good matchup this week, meaning that you think that he's valuable in daily, which to me says that he's valuable in season long too.
Right.
That means
he's still. But if Cam Newton's playing in the same slate, I'm not going to put Kirk Cousins in over Cam Newton.
Right, I know.
That's the whole thing. That's the difference. See, I can get away with this because I can pick anybody I want, where you're pretty much stuck with what you have, you know, so it's
yeah, that's true.
That's why people like daily fantasy sports better, because they can scrap it all every day and pick new players every day. They appreciate that more.
I do. For football, I definitely think daily is better.
Absolutely.
Which is actually weekly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's just, you know, the thing is you don't get that frustration, okay? It's frustrating when your running back gets hurt on that Sunday because basically your lineup tanks. Whereas in season-long
Yeah, but that's
long
not going to haunt you. It's not going to haunt you all season if your guy goes down, you know?
No, but it'll cost you money, though. I mean, but you get another chance at least. The thing is, but here's the thing, though. With season-long leagues, you can afford to have a stinker and still win your weekly matchup. And then, you know, you got to go out looking for a new guy if somebody gets hurt. But weekly, though, if that guy gets hurt that day, you're burned because you have to have those points. So they both have great things that we like and great things that we don't like. it's fantastic. I tell you what, I like Kirk Cousins this week. You know who else I like? I like Alex Smith. Last week, some people liked Alex Smith more than others. I was one of them. I didn't tout him last week, but I was really interested in his matchup. The weather kind of kept me off him, but this week is a different week, I think. He's got a nice matchup with the Saints. They're awful. They're horrible, their defense is. They've allowed 301 yards per game. That kind of horrible. I mean, just to passers, and it's nothing. I mean, seven touchdowns only, though. But still, Alex Smith is going to have a big game, I think, this week. He has one big game a year, by the way.
Oh, okay. There was another person on your list that has, maybe it was Jeremy Hills, that has like one good game a year.
Oh, right. Jeremy Hill. Is he on my list? I think he is.
He's on your list. And
yes, yeah. Is he? Or no, I'm sorry, Giovanni Bernard is the guy that I'm touting higher than Jeremy Hill. Because Jeremy Hill, but here's the thing with Cincinnati, is that Giovanni Bernard has, his snap counts were double that of Jeremy Hill's. And that kind of tends me to think that and lean toward Bernard in a situation where he's playing against the Browns.
I think that anybody on Cincinnati is probably a good pick this week if they get plays. I mean, because the Browns are horrible, right?
Oh, they're horrible. They're the only Cleveland team that sucks. They're really
bad.
Right,
well, you got to have one. I mean, come on.
No, they don't like that either. You see, the great thing about working in this town, too, is you can crack on the Browns all you want. Nobody cares because they have so much success with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Cleveland Indians that
and
they
the Indians.
Can just do that. Yeah, sure. I mean, they love it. They really do. Let me see. I'll give you a couple more I like this week.
What about T.J. Yeldon?
Oh, you know
he
what? I like T.J. Yeldon,
no good
too.
For but I wait like a minute. I read that the Oakland backfield is committee. Is that right? Does that make sense? This is all coming from my head.
The Oakland, T.J. Yeldon plays for the Jags. And the thing is that maybe, but he's going to go overlooked this week, I think. And he's very cheap, 6,300. The problem with the Raiders is they allow a lot of yards, like 132 rushing yards a game, to be exact. And they've given up like 7 touchdowns. So T.J. Yeldon is a good guy because here's the thing, too, with daily fantasy or weekly in this case, is that you want to be contrarian. You want to get points where no one else is getting them and get a lot of them. T.J. Yeldon might
be
that good play.
What about Marquise Lee in that game? It says that he's had at least 4 receptions in the last 4 games.
Okay, that's
he could
good.
Be a sleeper in that game.
He could be. He could very well be.
But that's not your pick.
Nope, that's not my pick. I think I'd like the higher scoring games for my receivers. And, for example, Julio Jones is going to be in a game with the Chargers this week. That's Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones. He's also the most expensive.
Yeah, he's always good, right? And A.J. Green is pretty good.
A.J. Green is usually pretty good, too. And against the Browns, you know, they only give up. Wide receiver one gets like 67 yards a game against the Bengals. But A.J. Green is not just your run-of-the-mill wide receiver one. He's one of the best. And I don't think that the Browns can keep up with him. And with
what about Marvin Jones?
Marvin Jones, I like Marvin Jones, too. The Lions have a good matchup with the Washington Redskins. Their secondary gives up like 90 yards a game to wide receiver ones. So this is the kind of thing that you want to look for. You know, there's great tools to see that. Some teams give up their most yards to wide receiver threes, and that's where you find your value. And I've kind of found some value here this week. Actually, my value, Mike Wallace is my value play. If you really want to find some value this week, go to the Baltimore Ravens. The Jets secondary is horrific. And they allow a lot of yards to guys. And you've got guys like Steve Smith, who technically is a wide receiver one, but he's been hurt. He's at $6,200. Rashard Perryman, $5,400. Kamar Aiken, $5,300. Mike Wallace, $6,900. Any one of those four. Steve Smith doesn't play. Rashard Perryman is a great play at $5,400. Maybe even Kamar Aiken at $5,300. And I like Mike Wallace a lot, $6,900. So there's value out there this week. You just got to go look for it. And you can find all that stuff at LennyMellyFantasySports.com. Head on over there, and you can get all my picks there.
Yes, that's true. And I use them every week. And I also just put up the points allowed by the defensive teams. Like I found a chart on NFL, and I pulled it into the site. So all of those points against and how many points they're allowing to wide receivers by position. How do you even say what that is? The points allowed, points against?
Yeah, points allowed per position.
Yeah, it's broken down by position, so I update that every week. And I mean, I thought that was good information because I actually, that is something to look at for sure. If you're playing daily, I mean, it's absolutely necessity to look at that.
Absolutely. I look at those like religiously. It's important. Now, we wanted to talk a little bit about some basketball. People that ask me about fantasy basketball, and I tell them I don't have a lot of time for it, but I do it, and we'll do it here. Waiver wires for week one. You're playing fair. Hey, we're in the same league.
All right, shoot.
We're in the Peachtree Hoops League, right? We did a draft last night.
Right,
You brought something up to me off air about some people were complaining that people didn't show up for the draft. That's common in 10 and 12 team leagues because there are not that many players to choose from. The drafts go by really fast too. And even if you're auto picking, you can still do pretty well if you set your line, if you set the thing right. And most of the people who auto pick actually set them right, so
I just think it's kind of rude to the other people not to show up, but I don't play basketball every year, and I do. I play in one league every year, but everybody always shows up to that league. So I haven't seen like what we came to last night. But I did notice that like about halfway through the draft, the time went down from 90 seconds to 45 seconds. Like,
yeah,
all
of
a sudden I'm like,
I did that because all the auto picks that were going on. And in our league that we're talking about, we have a couple NBA agents. We have the father of one of the players, on the Atlanta Hawks. So these guys are kind of busy, but they'll be participating once the league starts.
I like my team. I think so. If you have a couple of players, go ahead, shoot. I know we're running out of time.
No, we're good here. We got a few minutes. Yeah, I do. I have a couple point guards for you. Tony Parker has 4 games this week. He's 30%. He's available in 70% of your leagues at ESPN. He'll probably play 3 of those games, and that's good still. Tim Frazier from New Orleans Pelicans, point guard. He has 3 games this week. He's available in over 80% of ESPN leagues. He's going to be the starting point guard on that team. That team's going to need to score points from somewhere, and I think he's going to do the job. And then we've got shooting guards. Houston, the Rockets, Eric Gordon. He's available in over 50% of ESPN leagues. This guy's – people are going to score – Mike D'Antoni, the coach of Houston, they're going to score a lot of points. They're going to score an ungodly amount of points. And Eric Gordon is that low owned. That's amazing to me. The people are afraid that he's going to get hurt, but don't worry. If you're in a 10 or 12 team league, there's plenty of players to get if your guy gets hurt. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, he's got 3 games this week. He's owned – available in over 65% of your leagues. Amir Johnson, dual eligible, power forward and center at ESPN with the Celtics, 3 games this week, available in over 70% of your leagues. And Clint Capella, the starting center for the Houston Rockets, 3 games this week, available in over 65% of your leagues, and he's a double-double waiting to happen every time he steps on the court. I'm amazed at how little people know about NBA basketball who play fantasy basketball.
I know, well, you mean for daily? Because I think that you're probably right about that. It's probably...
I think it's more for season-long leagues. These are all season statistics. Clint Capella is available in 65% of ESPN leagues. Maybe they all haven't drafted yet, but it's hard to believe that a starting center on a high-scoring team, a team that's probably going to score more points than anybody ever has in a season, maybe not as much, maybe Golden State beats them this year, but they're going to be right up there, is only owned in 65 or 30% of the leagues. It's crazy.
Okay, dude. So are we done?
We are done. Yes, that's right. We are done. Well done today. Thank you for being here with
me. Well done. You too. I'll see you next week.
You definitely will. For Andrea Lamont, I'm Phil Nasons. We want to thank you for listening to Nothing But Fantasy.